You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Well, tonight we're continuing our series, Path to Purpose, and this is actually the last message. We have some other things involved in this series, but this is the last actual topic. So we've been talking about path to purpose a lot. You've heard about your path. And then we went on to discuss God's plan for your life. So God has a plan for your life. Last week, Jordan did a great job talking about how to have goals and then how to make them happen or set on a path to achieve them. So did anybody do their homework? Did anybody pray about goals, write any down? Let me see your hands. Three of you. Four, five, six, seven.
Eight, nine.
Eight. Okay, nine. Jordan, good job. Jordan did what he taught. All right, you can put your hand down. Well, first of all, before I go any further, I wanted to encourage you guys in goals. Now, this doesn't have to be... How many of you want to pass your class that you're in right now? So not all of you want to pass your classes? Okay, more hands are going up. Okay, got it. How many of you guys are believing for money for something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, even better. So how many of you guys have a plan to pass that class or to get that money? So how many of you have written that plan down? And a lot of hands go down. So, again, how many of you have heard, like, your teacher go, if you haven't done your assignment, they reassign it? So, for those of you who raised your hand and have goals, write it down. That's what holds you accountable. You know, your teachers give you homework, and they're like, I don't see your pen moving. Chances are you are going to forget about it, or until the last minute, that's when you finally decide to do it. So when you write things down, things happen. Have you ever heard the phrase, if it doesn't get written down, it doesn't get done? In a lot of the workforce, if you give someone an assignment, or they'll say, hey, can you do this for me? You'll say, hey, can you put that in an email? Can you write it down? That way it reminds me to do that. And it's not bad to write things down or as if, oh, okay, this means I'm going to be forgetful. It's a way of holding yourself accountable. So when you have goals, Jordan spent 45 minutes last week talking to us about the importance of goals and how to achieve them. I've been trying to pay my car off for years. And finally, last year, I decided to write down my goal. I'm going to pay this much each month, down to this cent. I think it was $272.43 or whatever a month. But I went down to the penny, what I was going to pay each month. And that's the exact check that I wrote out. And I'd always cross it off every time I paid it, knowing that I was holding myself accountable. Now, there's some other goals I didn't write down, and I didn't achieve them because it wasn't in front of me every day reminding me that that's what I was going to do. And so it's important that if you guys have these goals, that you don't wait, oh, you know, when I graduate or when I'm a parent or when I'm an adult. I consider you guys adults. If Timothy was a pastor of a church at 16, how many of you are 16 or older? All right. Point taken. So if Timothy was a pastor of a church, then I think we can take those little baby steps that of writing assignments down, being diligent with what's been given to us, because you are adults. I don't believe that you're not an adult until you're a certain age. I believe that this teenage generation has been kind of given some, let's say, some bad raps, would you say? And they look down on you, and they say, oh, they're just teenagers, or they're not responsible. Well, I don't speak that over you. I believe you are responsible. I believe you're adults, and I believe you're capable of something. But you got to show me. You know what I mean? Like, you got to prove it to those people. How many of you know when someone says you can't do something, all of a sudden you really want to do it, even if you didn't want to do it to begin? Yes. So that's what we're saying is when we have an assignment, someone says, do this assignment, you want to prove that you can do it. Like last week, Jordan says, the Lord already said you win, but now you have to study to show yourself approved. And so all I'm asking is that you guys, you don't do it for me. Like, I'm not going to get anything out of it by you passing your class. I'm just wanting to encourage you guys. It starts with the small things. What you do now is how you're going to handle bigger responsibilities later. So how you handle what you're doing right now is going to set the pace for how you're going to walk out this path. Does that make sense? So that wasn't planned, but before I go any further, I wanted to make sure we covered our goals. And so Jordan did a great job with that, so I encourage you guys, even if it's one thing, I'm not saying write down your five-year plan. I get intimidated sometimes by big, like, what's your 10-year plan, Jen? I'm thinking, I'm just working on the month. Like, I got a calendar for the month, you know, or I got a goals for a year. But for you guys, take bite size, take little pieces. If your goal is to earn $140 by camp, this weekend your assignment is to write down goal, $140. How am I gonna accomplish this? Mow 5 lawns, earn $30 each. Got more than enough for my trip. Does that make sense? Some people nod their head. Yes, thank you for the yes from the front row. All right, well tonight we're gonna talk about staying on the course. We've been getting on the course, we know our plan. We're talking about staying on the course. I heard an awesome quote that helped just set the pace for all this. It says, when you discover your assignment, you discover your enemy. It's when you discover your assignment, you discover your enemy. How many of you have set a goal and then suddenly temptation appears? Have you ever set a goal and then, yeah, a few hands? Suddenly you're like faced with that exact thing that you were like, no, that's not for me. Like, example would be, let's say, a diet. You're like, I'm not going to eat sweets for 6 weeks. And then you're invited to a birthday party. You got the Starbucks. You can get sugar-free tea. That's fun. But you say, I'm going to go on a diet. And then you get invited to this birthday party. And then mom's like, hey, I baked a cake for special. And you're like, oh, that's awesome. I'll have a glass of water. Or you're saying, you know what? I have some standards, and I'm not going to date until I'm 16, or I'm not going to date till I'm married. And then, well, until you're married. Till you're ready to get married. A whole lot of sense. Okay, got it. There you go. But then all of a sudden, the person sitting next to you in math class gets a lot cuter the next day, or that friend you've been hanging out with, suddenly they're not so much a friend anymore, and you have this opportunity to either go with what you had said you weren't going to do or stick to your goal, but now that's become an obstacle. It wasn't in front of you before, but now it's an obstacle. And so tonight we're going to talk about how to overcome those obstacles, because when a goal is set, that's when opposition arrives. As soon as you say, I'm going to do this, your assignment has been stated, and now there's opportunity for something or someone to come and distract you from that or to become a hindrance to you. There is an attack unless there's something to defend. And I used to always think, I used to get so frustrated. I feel like there was an attack after an attack after an attack. And I just would, what am I doing wrong? Like, why is this so hard? I conquer one thing and then another thing comes. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? Like, what am I doing wrong? And I realized that it's not that something's wrong with me, it's that I actually have something to protect. I have something to defend. I have something that someone else wants. And so that's when opposition arises. So that's when the devil is going to try to come in and try to steal something, because you have stated your claim. You've stood your stance, you're walking in something with confidence, and you have something valuable, and he's now wanting to take it from you. So it's not necessarily you have a problem, it's that there's something you have that's valuable. Does that make sense? An example would be war. People fight over things that value is placed over, like land or freedoms, religion, resources, you know, oil in the Middle East. People fight over things that they want or that they see value in. But people who don't have something of value, there's little countries who don't have a lot going on, but there's not a lot that they have that someone wants. And so they're not going to be sought after. But the more you have and the more you have that people want, that's when attack is going to come, because someone's going to want to take that. Someone, or they just want more of something. Do you ever just know people that, can you never have enough? Like, just going for more, more, more. And that's what a lot of this war is over greed. And so tonight we're not talking about war, but I wanted to give you an example that there's people in countries who don't have a lot of attack going on, but then they don't have a lot to defend. They're just living kind of mediocre lives. Have you ever seen those people and you're like, why does nothing ever happen to them? And you're like, why is this person, you can line two people up and you think, this one goes through a lot, this one just seems, you know, leave it to Beaver kind of lifestyle. Does anybody know what that show is?
Yeah! Did I just,
okay. Woo! Whew, not that old yet. Okay. So, anyway, and those people are going to be blessed. You know, they're living a good life, but the risk that you take is what you're going to get back. So what you give is what you're going to get, or what you fight for is what you're going to receive. And so sometimes the one that's willing to make the greater risk or take the adventure and the step out of faith is the one that's going to get a more exciting and a more adventurous life. And so it's what you're willing to risk and what you're willing to do And all of this is for the Lord. So what are you willing to do at what cost? You know, you look at his disciples, and they will do anything at any cost, even death. And there's other people who would hide and say, I don't even know who that man is. And so we want to be the ones that are confident in who we are, walking down that path and not hiding from anybody. And that's today we're going to talk about how to walk down that path and how not to be overcome by the obstacles, but to overcome them. And the same is for you. You're valuable to the Lord. I was just talking to you about how you're viewed, that you are all adults. You all have a gift, and you're all used for the kingdom. And that's how you're viewed. Now, the enemy knows that. He is stupid, but he knows. He's not stupid in the sense that he knows you got something. So he has to try to figure out all these tactics to get to you. But you're smarter, and you serve a God that's smarter. And so we know you're going to win. And so tonight we want to talk about, how do we identify what those obstacles are? How do we get over them and still stay in one piece and stronger as we move forward? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is when the enemy knows what you're capable of, he's going to do everything he can to stop it. How many of you play sports? A few of you? About a third of you play sports. Okay, well, for those of you who don't, you've probably watched it on TV or you've seen a brother or sister play sports. There's offense and defense. Now, let's use soccer for an example. You're on this.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Football.
Yeah.
No. Okay, I'll stick with soccer, but I don't like it. Anyway. Okay, so we have a field, right? Okay, here's my field right here. My little table is my field, and it's divided down the middle. So I have my two teams. Now, the defense on this side isn't going to be real aggressive when the offense stays on their side of the field. Does that make sense? Like, there's not a whole lot to defend because they're just leaving me alone. But as soon as the forward moves down the field, they tighten up. They get more aggressive in their defense because now they're defending something. They're defending their goal because they don't want you to get there. And the same is true for us. The closer we get to a target, the harder the opposition can be. And so there's times where you have a goal and you have something you're going for, and then it gets harder and harder. And so then you think, maybe I should stop. Lord, is that you? This is hard. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this because it's hard. And you think, oh, maybe I should give up. It's the enemy pulling out all stops. I mean, how many of you know, as soon as you get like under the hoop in basketball, like it's one big free-for-all, like everyone's trying to foul each other and just make sure no basket can be made. But the other person on the other side of the court who's just there just in case is just kind of standing around. Like, there's not a whole lot of aggressiveness going on in his side of the court. But this is where the action is happening. This is where a goal is about to be made. So they're going to do everything they can to stop someone from scoring a goal, including, I used to play basketball, and the coaches would say, if you know you can't block the shot, foul the person, because they're either going to get 2 points by shooting one basket, or if you foul them, I'm not saying hurt them, like we weren't out to attack people, but there's ways to foul people without like causing casualty. So you foul them because now they have to try to shoot, and they only get 1 point per shot. So now they have to shoot 2 times to get the 2 points where they could have shot 1 time to get the 2 points. Does that make sense? So you foul them so that they have to work harder for that goal. And so that's what happens when you guys have goals and you're getting towards them. Just because things get hard doesn't mean that, oh, you're supposed to stop and give up. Or maybe this is the wrong path that I'm on because suddenly it got hard. What's worth fighting for needs to be worth fighting to keep. So if you don't have to fight for something, you're not going to fight to keep it because you didn't have to work for it. But if you fight for something to obtain it, you're going to work that much harder to keep it. Does that make sense? And so the same is true for the path that you're on, is that there is something that you're assigned to, and you will not stop at any cost. But there's someone who wants to stop you at any cost. And so sometimes when we have these obstacles, we feel like, okay, don't get freaked out, but I brought some props tonight. And I have a little bow and arrow here. And I'll point this way so no one, well, we'll go like this. Okay. Really, don't worry about it. We're good. Okay, so here's a bow and arrow. How many of you have ever, in PE, I used to do bow and arrow. Has anybody in here shot a bow and arrow? Okay. Quite a few of you. Okay. So a bow and arrow, I have, don't worry about it. You won't get hurt. Let's say I have a target. Let's just pretend the clock up there is my target. So I have a target I want to and I won't shoot it. I don't think. So anyway, I have this bow and arrow, and I have a target that I want to get to. If I just kind of tap it, is it going to go anywhere? No, I have to pull it back. Now I'm experiencing resistance. How many of you have ever tried to go for something and suddenly there's like this resistance? Yes. Okay, I got an amen. So then you're pulling it back and there's this resistance. And I'm going backwards. My goal is that direction, but I'm going backwards. So have you ever felt like you're going towards something and you're moving backwards? Like, why do I feel like I'm getting farther and farther away from the goal? It's right there. I want to go forward. Well, sometimes it feels like you're going backwards, but the farther back you go, then all of a sudden it goes easier. Have you, for those of you who've done this, you know it's resistance. Then you hit a point and it becomes easier. And so with, now you guys are all putting this on Facebook. I see those cameras. That's awesome. So anyway, so I experience resistance and I'm going backwards. Now I can go farther. The farther back I go, the more power I have behind my shot. And so the farther I'm going to go towards that and hit the mark. Are you really hiding back there? That's hilarious. But I wanted to show you guys that because I was seeing when you have a goal sometimes, it feels like you're going backwards. You experience some resistance and you want to give up. But when you know that that's coming, when I know, okay, Jen, when you grab, Jessica taught me how to do this because I haven't done it since like 8th grade PE. But she was showing me how to put it back. Really, I went to 8th grade. And and I did know how to do this, but I don't want to hurt anybody. So, anyway, case in point. When you have a goal, and I have a goal, I'm not going to shoot at it right now for the sake of everybody, but there's some resistance that I experienced when I pulled this back. Yes? I also went backwards. Can we all agree I went backwards? But I went forwards, and one thing she taught me is when you go backwards, you're coming closer to your face, and not until I get to my face can I let go of this arrow. And as we sometimes draw closer to the Father, you know, like, I have that goal. And he's like, just come to me, just come to me. So the farther we go back and we're just spending time with him, I'm in the right position to aim this. And so you have to position yourself to hear the voice of the Father. That way when you have obstacles come in your way or you have targets, you know that you don't just quit, you don't just give up because that was hard. It's something to work for, it's something to fight for. And I would have loved to shoot that. Maybe I'll do it sometime, but anyways. I wanted to show you guys that little example because it helped me when I felt like I was going backwards or when I felt like there was resistance, like, do I just quit and give up? And it's no, as you're going farther back, you're just becoming positioned and prepped so that you can hit the mark and you can hit it with accuracy and with speed and with excellence. Because if I just let go by pulling back just a little bit, it's not going to go very far. There's not going to be any power behind it, and I'm not going to hit my mark. But the more I spend time preparing, the more time I spend focusing on my target, I can't just fling the arrow. I mean, it's a tiny little arrow, and there's distance between me and my target. And so I have to be very accurate about how I'm going to point that arrow to my target. And so that's how you guys are on your path. So you have a path, you have a destination, but in Proverbs it says, he who moves too fast goes the wrong way. And so sometimes, like today, I was busting out of the house, had to run to the store to buy this plant, which we'll find out more about later. It was so important for me to get my plant. So I was like, gotta go. And then I needed a mouse trap while I was at the store. Not because there was a mouse in my house, but we'll get to that later too. Mouse in the house. I want to start rhyming. Anyway. So I run out of the house and I'm like, I'm going to call Natalie on the way to see if she's found a mouse trap. I get in the car. I'm driving down the street to Walmart. I don't have my cell phone. My cell phone is sitting on the table. And I'm like, now I can't call Natalie to find out if I need to buy what I really am coming to the store to buy. And so I thought, well, that was, and I just taught myself. I was in such a hurry just to leave that I couldn't take 30 seconds and collect myself. I even stood by the door and was like, Lord, am I really supposed to go to Walmart? Like, just checking, okay, am I supposed to go to the store? And I was like, I'm supposed to go. But I didn't even take the 30 seconds longer to be like, do you have your keys? Do you have your wallet? Do you have your cell phone? And I could have just taken that little time. So sometimes we're in such a hurry to get somewhere, get to a goal that we have, that we don't take time and be like, Lord, am I forgetting anything? Lord, is there another route I'm supposed to take? And so when you're on that path, taking time, hearing from the Lord, we talked about that a few weeks ago, taking opportunity to listen. It's one thing to be like, In the name of Jesus, I'm believing for this. Amen. And move on to your next task and not wait long enough. Have you ever talked to someone and been like, are you having a good day? And you're like, you walk past each other. It's like, why are you asking if you're not stopping to wait for a response? That's another thing. It'd be good. Catch yourself next time when you're just passing through the halls of school or in church and you're asking someone, hey, how are you doing? If you don't stop to hear an answer, it's probably not a genuine, you know, we use that as, hey, how are you, as just kind of like a cliched question to people. But really, it's meant to be responded, and it's meant to ask somebody, to care about somebody. But I notice when people do it to me, I'm like, good. And it's like, they weren't even there to hear that. And so the same is true for this. Sometimes we're in such a hurry that we're moving from one place to the next that we don't even think about what we're saying or what we're doing in the process, and we forget people, and we forget hearing from the Lord when there's something, you know. I mean, I was in such a hurry today. If he would have said, stop, go here, help this person, I wouldn't have been able to do it. Now, last night, I was in such a hurry to get out of the house, and I wanted to get out of the house. So I got out of the house, started driving, and I hit traffic. And then I hit a detour, and then I'm just sitting there. I'm like, was I supposed to leave? And I see this car pull off to the side and behind a building, and they disappeared. And I thought, ooh, maybe they know a secret passageway. So I, like, follow them, and I get behind the building, and they're parked, and their hood's up. And I was like, oh, dear. So I look, and it's a girl, and I'm like, oh, I can help her. So I, like, roll down the window. I was like, do you need help? And she's like, no, I got it. My radiator just overheated. I was like, I've helped with one of those before. And she's like, I already got my water. I don't need help, you know. But I was willing and able to help her, just hearing from the Lord. I was frustrated. I was like, how many of you like traffic? Do you like to sit? I don't do well in traffic. So I'm sitting there. It's 8:30. Haven't eaten dinner. I just want to get to my fuzzy tacos. How many of you guys went, oh, fuzzy tacos is amazing. Who's been there? Okay. Taco Tuesday. Amazing. Anyway, so that was my destination, but I hit a few detours. But you better believe it, I was getting to Fuzzy's. I don't care what the detours were. I don't care how many times I had to stop. I was going to Fuzzy's Tacos, and all of you should too. But anyway, back to my point is that sometimes you have these little detours, even in the conversations, I have these little detours, but we're able to get back on track. Let's turn to John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, first of all, it says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have enjoy life and have it to the abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Now, this explains good and evil. This just breaks it down real simple. The thief came, and in New Living, it says the thief's purpose. So his sole purpose is to steal, kill, or destroy. So if there's something in your life that's been taken, if there's something in your life that seems like it's disappearing or dying or being destroyed, that's not God. And when you see on the news and there's weather and there's all these things or there's bad things happening to people, you hear a lot, oh, well, it must have been the Lord's will. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. I, meaning, okay, red letters, God, Jesus, I came that they may enjoy life and have it to the abundance full till it overflows. So the God you serve comes to give you life, not to take life away. And so the bottom line of all of this is Satan is the one who plots these attacks. When you're on a path and the Lord gives you an assignment, the hurdles that you see, the obstacles in front of you, the Lord doesn't put there for you to harm or to steal, kill, or destroy. That's Satan. And so I just wanted to clear that up real fast before we went further, that when we talk about obstacles, that is the thief's purpose. That is not God's purpose. So when we're talking about this tonight, we're talking about the good and the evil, the good and the bad. That it's your God who's put you on the assignment. He's equipped you for the assignment. So he's pushing for you, and he's going before you and coming behind you. So if he's going before you and coming behind you, he sees those obstacles. So as Danny talked about in offering, our job is to obey. And in our object in the game we saw today, someone's going along blindfolded. They're trusting the voice of the person that's guiding them to get from point A to point B. And so that's our job, is they were in front of the person blindfolded, just like God's in front of us. And so he's saying, step to the left, step to the right, pause for a minute. Okay, go faster, pick up the ball, shoot. And it's just as simple as with us. The alarm clock goes off, brush your teeth, get dressed. And you got that routine down pretty good. I know sometimes we skip a few things, but we kind of know those routines. But have you ever stopped and just said, like, Lord, what am I supposed to wear today? Or do you want me to eat that? Or am I supposed to take this route to school? Like, even those things throughout our day, we take for granted that I got this routine. I'll let you know when I need your help. And you just kind of leave them out of some of those things. But he's saying, I got this. You got to follow me, and I'll pave the way for you. And so that's part of this obstacle overcoming, is hearing his voice and following him day by day by day. Now, the main tactic that Satan uses is distraction. How many of you have ever been distracted? Distracted? Okay, like right now, who's on Facebook? I dare you to raise your hand. Anyway, that was free. Satan's main tactic is distraction. The only reason men fail is broken focus. The only reason men fail is broken focus. And that's a quote by Mike Murdoch. Now, someone could be saying, I'm a multitasker. You know, I claim to be one of those too. But I have found that I can't give something 100% if I have something else taking away my time. So if I have something I'm focused on, I'm doing emails, but then my phone rings, but then someone comes to my desk and asks a question, and then I need to run something up to accounting. Suddenly I'm doing a bunch of different things. The emails just kind of became a blur. Like, it just kind of took the back seat. But if I was on assignment, no, this has, you know, marked red, needs to do it now, important, then I'm focused on that one thing. But if I'm scattered in a bunch of different places, something's going to suffer. If I have a goal and I have a focus, but then I get distracted by a bunch of other things, I may still accomplish that goal, but it won't be in the speed that I had planned on doing it. It won't be with the excellence that I had hoped to do it, because now I'm being distracted by a bunch of different things. And so you can't be focused and distracted. Those two are complete opposites. Now some of you are like, but I can multitask. Let me define focus for you. It's a central point as of attraction, attention, or activity. So it is like the center. It is the one thing that I am focused on. And it says attention, attraction, and activity. So it's all eyes on this. This is my focus. Now, distraction is defined as a person or thing that prevents concentration. So if you find yourself unable to concentrate, that means there's a distraction. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, we've talked about your path a lot lately. You have a path, and we've referenced it. Well, a path has clear boundaries and destination. How many of you have been on a hike or walked down a trail before? Anybody? A few of you? You know, and I lifted the light up a couple weeks ago, and we darkened the room. You could see a distinct trail where that light hit. So a path is very distinct. You know where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do. So you're supposed to travel on looking ahead at what you're focused on. But sometimes it becomes unclear. The farther I get from the light, it becomes just kind of a little blurry. Or if you're looking at a big, you know, distance runners, you know, you're told you're going to run 2 miles, but you can only see one of the miles, you're thinking, do I just stop when I can't see it anymore? No, the closer you get to something, then you can start seeing the different ways it goes. But you can't see it all at first all the time. And so sometimes you have to slow down. You have to check the map. A couple weeks ago, this weekend I went on a hike. And I've been on it before, and so I kind of knew what was coming. But the first time I went on the hike, I got a Y in the trail. Have you ever come to a road and you can go left or you can go right, but you can't go straight anymore? And so I'm like, where am I supposed to go? So I look at the map, and one part's going to take me up and over a hill and even farther into, well, Eagle Mountain. They call that a mountain. Anyway, so I'm thinking, like, up into the mountains. It just didn't sound right because, anyway, I know what a mountain is. So, or you can take a right and you can go down towards the lake. And I'm like, I want to go to the lake. So I take a right and go down to the lake. But I had to stop and check the map where to go. So sometimes we're on this path and we come to this little point. You know, like we talked about earlier, you've made a goal and a decision. And now there's opportunity to make a choice. Do I really want to do what I said I was going to do? Or do I want to go this way? And so you check the map. For us, we check the word. We check our spirit and decide which way to go. And so I checked the map. So I have to slow down a little. Like I said earlier, sometimes if you move too fast, I could have just kept going where I think I was supposed to go. And there's plenty of other little trails out there. And so the next time I went with a friend. And so they were following me because there's plenty of little trails to go down or fenced off areas, but you're like, well, I can crawl under that, you know, if I wanted to go over there. And so there's lots of opportunity to go other places, but there was a main trail that I was supposed to be on. And so when you have a path, there's going to be opportunity to go down these little trails. There's going to be opportunities to miss a turn. And so you get in a pace where you're going and you're checking your map. You're checking with the person you're with. You're communicating. You're checking with the Lord so that you don't move too fast and go the wrong way. Or you don't just suddenly decide, oh, I got this, and you go down a little trail on your own. I was telling my friend, I was like, do you realize, like, if we were on a treadmill right now, we could get off and quit. But if we decided we didn't want to walk anymore, we're still in the woods. Like, you're still there. And so that's how it is with sometimes when you're on a trail, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't really want to go anywhere anymore. You're still out there. Like, you still have to finish it. And so when you're out there, sometimes you have to make those decisions. Like, you may not really want to or feel like you have to keep going, but you can't just hop off the treadmill because you're not on one. You are on a path, and it's taking you somewhere, and so you either have to decide to come back or to keep going. And so that's the importance of knowing that, oh, I'll figure it out when I get there. Well, sometimes when you get there, it might not be the right destination, and so you're going to have to do a little backtracking to get back on track. And so this today is to help you. I would love it, and I didn't always think I would love it when I was your age, but when I made some decisions, well, I was 18, so I just graduated high school. My parents had said, Jen, we've raised you to make the right decisions, and so we don't necessarily agree with the one you're making, but we were going to walk you through it, because at this point, if we just kicked you out, what are you going to learn from that? And so they were like, we're going to walk you through this, but at the same time, we just want you to know where we stand. And so I was like, okay. To this day, I wish they would have just locked me in my room, thrown away the key, and just been like, no, you're not doing it. But instead, Jen wanted to learn by experience instead of by listening, and she went down this path that she was not supposed to go on, and yes, Mom and Dad were right. I will say, Mom and Dad were right. And I went down that path. Do you know how much work it took to get back on course? It took so much work. I look back, and I had a friend go through a similar thing, and I was like, let me help you speed up this process. I've been down that way. I know how to get back on track. I want to help you. I do not want you to go down the path I went on. And so that's what this whole thing is about, is I'm not sitting here trying to be like, hey, you have to do this, you need to do this. When I say make goals, I'm not, you know, trying to give you homework to do on your weekend. I'm trying to give you guys, equip you with things so that when you're walking down this path, you can get there faster and you don't have to backtrack and you don't have to make mistakes along the way. And so part of that is focus. And so when we look at our path and our destination, we sometimes need to decide, is it worth the cost? Jordan talked about costs last week. Sometimes going down a certain path is going to take time. It's going to take money. I was thinking about distractions and how when you go down a different path that's a distraction, it costs time and it costs money. And you're like, well, explain. Okay, if I just start driving aimlessly, you know, I decide not to go home tonight. I'm just going to go drive aimlessly. I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my gas money, and it is not cheap anymore. Did you say seven?
No, I said sadly.
Oh, sadly. I was like, $7? Anyway. Like, it was $4 yesterday. But distractions can cost time and can cost money. And so that's why it's important to do things on purpose. We talk about a path of purpose is the name of the series, is that when we're doing this, we're doing it on purpose with a goal in mind so that we don't waste time, we don't waste money. I don't want you to waste your time and money. I want you saving it and using it for what you're supposed to be using it for. And so I'm not saying you can't, you know, distractions. You're like, well, can I take a break, you know, or do I have to work all the time? I'm not saying you can't have fun and you can't have these breaks and rests along the way. It's important to have those. Who's been on a road trip? Yeah, quite a bit of you? Okay. I went on a road trip with my dad to get here, actually. Well, it was Oklahoma at first, and then I moved here. It was a 36-hour car ride. Yeah. Yes, amazing. I thought 10 was long to Idaho, but anyway. So 36 hours, Dad and I. If you know my dad, it makes a lot of sense now about the way I am, but when you set out to do something, you just do it. Like, you don't quit, you keep going at whatever cost it is. Well, Dad is the type that's like, let's just wake up at 2 a.m., get in the car, and go, and then when we get there, it'll be bright. And I'm like, no, I want to sleep in my bed. Like, I don't want to sleep in the car. But he's just like a go-getter kind of guy. So he let me go at 5 a.m. And even better. So we start on this road trip. We keep going, and I'm like, Dad, I'm hungry, I'm tired, can we stop? And he's like, yeah, we can stop for the night. Well, when you get out in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming and all those places, there's not a whole lot. So when you find an exit, you either take it or you risk keep going. And so we kept going. Oh, we'll get the next exit. We get to the next exit. It's this little small town. We stop off. I felt like Mary and Joseph. They're like, there's no room at the inn. And you're like, what do you mean? Like, it's Days Inn. It is supposed to have room for me. And they're like, I'm sorry. We have a college reunion in town. And so we're not able to have anyone. Like, no vacancy. Drive down the street. Next place. No vacancy. There was no vacancy down this whole entire street. So we had to get back on the highway and keep going. We drove 22 hours straight. No break. I mean, he let me go to the bathroom. You know, I was able to stop and, like, go to the gas station, fill up the car, go to the bathroom. But we just kept going and going and going. And so it's important to take stops. Like, we had to stop. We had to get gas. So it's important to take stops and breaks along the way. But we stayed on course. We stayed on the path. We continued going. And so when you're on this path and you're on this course, take breaks, have fun, but make sure it's in line with where you're going. It's very clear when I'm going straight and something's to my right, I have to take a conscious right-hand turn. I'm obviously off the beaten path. So when you have these opportunities arise, decide, is this in line with where I'm going or does it change where I'm going? And so that's how you decide when a distraction is something that's just a break or if it's something that's going to detour you and take a while to get back on course. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right, well, two common distractions the enemy uses is challenges and temptations. Now, he magnifies these things to get your attention. How many of you have used a magnifying glass before? Sorry, losing the microphone. Okay. I have a little magnifying glass right here. And I'm looking at my words, and suddenly they become so much bigger. And that's how the enemy wants to use some of these challenges and these temptations and these distractions, is he, like, puts this magnifying glass on it, and he just makes it such a big deal. He blows it way out of proportion. How many of you have had something happen, and your friends or your mom's like, honey, calm down. It's going to be okay. It's not that big of a deal. And you're like, it's a huge deal. You have no idea what happened to me. Yeah, you got it? I remember basketball practice, eighth grade, could not find my sock. And I was getting ready. I am in the kitchen. I grab the laundry basket. I put it down. I'm in the kitchen sitting on the floor. I cannot find my matching sock. This is so frustrating. And I'm like, blowing this way out of proportion. It's okay. There's plenty of other socks. They don't have to match. Yes, they do. Everything has to match. And just like, blow it way out of proportion. And I was just being this emotional eighth grade girl at the time, but it was such a big deal to me. I was frustrated. I'm already late for practice, and I was just like going on and on and on and on. But it was like I was making a huge deal out of something that was so small. And so you guys on hindsight can see like when your friends or your siblings do that, and you're like, man, they are out of control. Like, calm down. But then when it's your turn, when someone tells me to relax, because my dad and brother would be like, Jen, just relax. When I hear those words, my shoulders go up. I'm like, do not tell me to relax. I am relaxed. Now I'm not relaxed. But you get this heightened sensitivity, and it's like, wait a second. Am I on my love walk right now? Like, why am I taking this out on other people? There's always these little opportunities to have. That in itself is a distraction. Our emotions can be a distraction. Because we let it take us off course and veer it away. We take these little magnifying glasses and we start looking through those at things instead of just adjusting, taking a minute to breathe and going, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. In the grand scheme of things, this is not that big of a deal. So what I want to talk about real quick is some challenges that you guys might have and some goals. So somebody tell me what a goal would be for you in life in the next 5 years.
Get a job.
Get a job.
Get a car.
Get a car. Hold on, what? Graduate from a police academy. Ooh. What else? What are some other goals?
Graduate high school.
High school is a good goal. What?
Finish an essay by the end of the month.
Okay, so then what would be some challenges you might face trying to find a job? Procrastination, yeah, not writing down your goals or writing your resume. What are some other ones? Transportation, that is a big obstacle if you don't have a way to get to your job. What are some goals, or what are some obstacles if you're wanting to graduate high school and get to college?
Grades.
People, grades, money, Facebook, amen to that. Another one I was thinking of is who's in sports? I was thinking about sports the other day and how that's a goal for people, or whether it's something they want to do professionally, it's something that they do and spend their time doing, is injury can be an obstacle, or being cut from a team can be an obstacle. But that doesn't mean that you stop at those things. And if your goal is to graduate high school and you're saying math is hard, it doesn't mean you quit high school because math is hard. It means you get help and you humble yourself asking for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. I had to spend hours on math, but I passed.
Amen.
You can too. Amen. And you're wondering, does it have anything to do with my job today? Actually, it does at times. So you just never know when that geometry and algebra is going to come in handy. And even if you don't think so, someone... just come in. Okay, what is an... who wants to be involved in ministry? Like, who feels a call to ministry? You're all ministers in my mind, so even if you're a businessman, you're a minister. But full-time ministry, an obstacle to some people could be their past. Oh, but you don't know what I've done. And how many of you know it doesn't matter what you've done, it matters what he did?
Yes.
Did you hear that? It doesn't matter what you've done, it matters what he did. And that's the focus of all of this, is what he's done. Now, another type of distraction is temptation. It's something that's a lure, a pull, or seducing. So a temptation pulls you away. It takes you away. Now in James 1:12, it talks about, and I won't read it for time's sake, but it talks about temptation and how God is not the tempter, Satan is. So you hear people going, oh, God's tempting me. No, God is not tempting you. Satan is tempting you. Back to the good and evil description, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So it's not God who's tempting you. And so the next time you have a friend and you're trying to encourage them through something, or you hear that said, you can easily correct and point to this scripture that it's not him. Now, Jesus was tempted, and you can look up that in Matthew 4 when you're at home, but it talks about how he was tempted, but he was not given in. And so the enemy likes to use a little lie that makes you feel like no one's ever gone through what you've gone through. No one ever feels like how you feel. And it says that he was tempted and he went through all those things, but he overcame them. And so those scriptures, when it says, I am more than a conqueror through Christ, that's who you are and that's what you're capable of. And so don't ever give in to that lie that there's no one who knows what you're feeling or there's no one who has experienced what you've experienced, because it's not true. Because it's your Heavenly Father who's been through all of those things. And so he went through it, says he'll go before you. So he goes before you, and he paves those ways, and he helps you with those. So don't believe that lie. Now, who can tell me what some temptations are? What are some temptations you face? Matthew? Video games. Got it.
Computer. Internet.
Cassandra? Books. Now, so far, what you guys listed is not bad, but done in excess becomes a waste of time. Does that make sense? Sometimes temptations aren't necessarily sin. Like, we could list off alcohol and drugs and just list all those things off. Now, that is sin. But there's other things that are distractions, but it's not necessarily a bad thing unless you do it in excess. Does that make sense? So what are some other things? A what? Skyrim. Oh, is that like Temple? Skyrim. I thought you meant Temple Run. What? Drawing? What are some other ones? Facebook? Rosie? Hanging out with the wrong friends. That is so true. Thank you for bringing that up. Distractions or traps? Do you guys know what a trap is? Here, let me describe it for you real quick. It's a device or stratagem, big word, for catching a person unaware. So a trap isn't necessarily something you're like, ooh, that's a trap, don't go near it. How many of you know the mouse does not want to die? The mouse just wants, you're like, yes, it does. The mouse just wants the cheese, they just want the peanut butter, until whack, all of a sudden they're like, oh, that was a bad idea. There's these new traps and there's sticky traps. And there's these clear little pads. And so they go walking on it, and then all of a sudden they're stuck on their trap because they can't get any farther because they're trapped. But they didn't see it coming. And so that's what traps are. It's something that catches you unaware. And so that's what distractions can be for us, is little traps. And so I want to tell you in a quick few minutes how to overcome these traps, how to overcome these obstacles. The first one is identifying your path and destination. Let's look at Proverbs 4:25. I'll be reading from the Amplified.
Yeah.
Yay! It says, "Look, let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. Consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. Turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." And so this really defines everything we've been talking about of this path for purpose. Is the first thing it says, look straight ahead with fixed purpose. So what I'm looking at, where I'm going, is on purpose. And then it says, don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Have you seen horses and they have those guards on their eyes? So they are focused on what's ahead of them. They can't be distracted because their eyes are guarded. And so last week, Jordan talked to us about identifying the cost, identifying those distractions that come up before us. And before you even start this journey, determine, am I willing to keep going, knowing that those things are going to happen? And so many times we get caught up in the moment and we think, oh, but this is what I really want right now. And we just forget about what's ahead of us. And we let those little things right now grab our attention and forget about the big prize that we're going for. And so you have to know up front, you know what? If I said I would lay relationships aside when I'm 11, because I really can't go anywhere at 11, but to the park and swing on swings, then I'm going to let that cute little person go at this age, knowing that there's going to be a cute bigger person when I can actually drive somewhere. Does that make sense? Little example for you. But you give up where you're at right now, and those little temptations, knowing where you're going to go. But those could come, but you have made your determination. The next one is lay aside the weight. Hebrews 12:1, and I'll read from the Amplified. Woo! It says, "Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimonies to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and sin that so readily clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is before us, looking away from all that distracts to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive to our belief, and he is also the finisher. For the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne." And so it's saying when you first start off, lay aside the weight. I have this awesome backpack right here. Could you imagine? Yep, it's even full. Awesome. Could you imagine running a race with this thing on your back?
Yep.
Now, could you imagine how much awesomer it would be? Yes, I said it. If you could take this off and run that race? Yes. Andrew's running a race tomorrow. Now, Andrew, would you like to run that race with this on your back or without it?
Probably without it.
Probably without it. There's probably a higher chance of getting there faster and stronger than with this thing on your back. So when you start off a race, you want to get rid of these things. If there's something that's holding you back, you want to lay it down, because I might be able to move, but I'm not going to be able to move as fast. And so with taking these off before you even go, you can move so much better and get where you're going so much faster without all these little hindrances that are pulling you down. And so that's what weights do. How many of you have heard about pruning and cutting plants? Has anybody heard about that? Let me enlighten you real quick. Sharp object, yes. In John 15:1, let's turn there real quick. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more." And so he prunes things. Now, there's some dead things in this plant, and it doesn't take much to pull it out. Like, I don't even have to cut it. It just comes out because it's dead, It's not producing anything. There's some other things like this little guy. I mean, he's not doing much of anything. Now, he's broke down here. He's not dead yet, but he's not. Even if it produced something, it'd be going out that way, and the weight of it would pull it down farther. So you just cut it off. Right? But the rest of the plant didn't scream. Like, you still got all these beautiful flowers. Just losing one little broken stem isn't going to ruin everything. And how... No. No. And how many of you know it's so much easier to take something off when it's small or when it's not as developed and it's young than when it's older? Have you seen those big trees that have been around for hundreds of years?
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to knock those down than that little tiny tree in the center of every yard that they plant here in Texas. Those things are so easy to cut down, but as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it's harder to cut down. And so when you have hindrances and you have things, some of them like, oh, that's not a big deal. Oh, that's not a big deal. Well, we'll let that one slide. Suddenly you have this field of weeds when you could have just picked out one weed, picked out two weeds, and you got this beautiful garden. And so when you're pruning things and you're taking things off, sometimes it's better to just cut it and to just let it go before it has a chance to grow. Because there's more pain in cutting something off than that's more developed than there is when it's young and small. And so that's with these things. If there's things in your life that are holding you back, nipping things in the bud when they're smaller is a heck of a lot more important than waiting till they're huge and waiting till it's hard. Have you ever had problems where your parents or your friends have encouraged you, you need to fix this now, and then time develops and it's a lot harder to fix later? And so it says right here that he prunes things to help it keep growing. And so that's the purpose of the pruning, is to get it now so that you can continue to develop and continue to grow so that it is a healthy plant instead of letting all your attention go towards that thing that should have been cut off a long time ago. Now, the next one, and I'll just give you guys some scriptures so that we can go. Have a running buddy. When you're on this race and you're on this path, have someone next to you. Have someone that holds you accountable, who knows where you're going and how to get there. Sometimes when you're running a race, it's good to have people ahead of you who have been there. It's good to have someone next to you with you. And it's good to be pulling someone else up who's behind you. And so you have different level of friends so that when you're walking out this path, that you're following the right people. Like Rosie said, who you hang out with is important. And that you're pulling people, because you do have followers whether you know it or not. And so knowing that where you're going is a place worthy of being followed. And so the scripture you can write down for that is Galatians 6, 1 through 3. The next one is identifying possible obstacles and detours. When you're driving in a parking lot, you see a speed bump coming up. You know those things are coming. We talked about when you have an assignment, you know when there's going to be an obstacle. And so just like when you have an assignment right now or you have a goal in your way, be aware of what those obstacles could be so that when you come to them, you know how to get over them, that you are prepared for them. How many have gone over a speed bump without slowing down? It like throws the whole car out of whack. Yeah. You're like, man, could you have slowed down? You know you're going to have to go over it. I don't rarely turn around when I see a speed bump and be like, oh, I don't really need to go there. I'm just going to ignore it. You have to deal with things when they come, and you have to go over them, but you still get over them. And so when you brace yourself, when you prepare yourself, you can go a lot smoother over that speed bump than if you ignore it and let it sideswipe you. The next one is be prepared. Ephesians 6:10 talks about the armor of God. And let's turn there real quick. I'm going to point something out to you.
Sweetness.
It says, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth, the body armor of righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news, so you are fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop those fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so this points out all those things are important. Knowing the truth, having faith, it stops the shield, for wearing a helmet, for knowing your salvation. And so when there's days where I'd wake up and I'd read this every morning to remind myself what I have and what is equipping me for my day, to just remind me who I am and what I'm capable of. And if you have to remind yourself for that, do it for a couple days, do it for a week, reading that, renewing your mind. Because it's not fear to say attack's going to come. It's wisdom to say to be prepared for it. The army doesn't stop training and just wait for, you know, to get called out and get their orders. They're continually equipping themselves and getting stronger. So when they're called, they're ready. Or when attack comes unannounced, they're ready. And so being ready is the best way to be prepared to overcome an obstacle, is to be filled up in the Word, to be praying continually, to be surrounded by the right people. That's what's going to help you press forward and to move on past these things that come. And so it says trials are going to come, but it doesn't say they're going to overtake you. Just like the last song we sang, talking about the victory we have in Him, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. That's who we are and what we're capable of, but we have to know that going on this path so that we can go on it with confidence. Amen? Amen. The last one is to stay focused. Proverbs 4:24, what we read in the beginning, is staying on that path, staying focused, looking straight ahead at what you know you're supposed to look at. And when you get distracted to go to the left or to the right, if you have to slow down, take a break, get regrouped and focused. There's times where how many of you have just had a moment where you get so frustrated and you just get consumed with something that you can't even move any further? You're like, I need to be alone. And there's times you just need to get alone. You need to get in the Word. It's safer for everybody. And you just get quiet until, you know, your parents are like, go to your room. And you're like, you don't really want to, but in your mind you're like, oh, good, that helps me from getting in even more trouble. And you go to your room and you don't go out until you're ready to be who you're supposed to be. And so you're ready to say what you're supposed to say and do what you're supposed to do.
1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.